Thank you, Pastor John, and thank you, Mary Ann, and all our dear new friends here. We're so excited and so thankful to be here with you. And just 20-some years ago, we lived in Roanoke, not too far up the road, for 14 years up there. And during that time, the Lord really blessed us, blessed our family. We've been married, my dear Anna Marie and I, for 45 years, almost 46. And we have 3 grown sons and 2 grandchildren so far. We're praying for a dozen more. And it's just been such a blessed time. We've had a great time here this weekend and just love the heart of God overflowing in this place. And CMM, so you know, the ministry that we serve with is Christ's Mandate for Missions. They started in Charlotte in 1978, and then in the late 90s, in 1998, the Correll family asked me to go speak in a Bible school graduation in the northern Philippines. That was my first mission trip, and it just changed my life. And then after a few months, they asked me to go to Guatemala. And they said while I was on that second trip that the Lord spoke to them. There was a great doctor, a good friend of ours, who was the heir apparent to take over the ministry. And the Helen Correll, the wife of the founder, and Michael Correll, their son, who was a friend of mine, said the Lord spoke to them that I was to be the one. I said, well, who am I? You know, I haven't been to Bible school, not ordained. I've taught Sunday school and adult school. A little bit, but had a heart for the nations. And so I went on those first few trips, and it was just life-changing. It was hard to come back and focus on business. So it's been a wild ride, and I had no idea all the Lord was going to do and how the world has changed in the last 25 years. But yesterday, as I was sharing, the Holy Spirit was showing me about this place of the labors of your prayers, of your faithfulness that have been sown into Wellspring Fellowship and the work of all of you here together. This place really is a Goshen. You know, I'm blessed to go to many nations around the world. And the last 10 years, we've just heard continually revelation, whispers of the Holy Spirit, of these sweet fellowships in isolated areas. And what we do is try to connect and strengthen and encourage people with ministry service of prophetic teams. Amanda Davis serves on prophetic teams with CMM. So we have 5 teams each week that minister to the Lord. Amanda and her team do a lot in Kazakhstan and Russian-speaking countries. And there's such hunger for the Lord. The Holy Spirit is moving around the world in hearts. Many people are isolated in their outpost, but they're on strategic assignments from the Lord to do what he calls them to do. And the Lord has a huge plan, a huge destiny for Wellspring Fellowship. It's just so peaceful up here. The presence of God is powerful in this place because it's made up of you and you and you and all the members and the friends and the families that pray. And regardless of the numbers, it's the depth of your heart. And I'll just share briefly the message the Lord gave me today for here is being versus doing. The Lord is more interested in our being with him than our doing. You know, we all have responsibilities. We have families. We have jobs. We have activities that we do. And it takes extra intentional effort to be able to get up early or to stay up late to spend time with the Lord or to take times throughout the day as circumstances permit for us to get away with God and to be with him. You know, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was crucified and buried and resurrected, he was praying and he asked his disciples, can you not stay with me for 1 hour? He wants that intimate depth of relationship. You know, when we read several times in the New Testament about on that day of judgment, and people will say, oh, didn't we cast out demons in your name. Didn't we heal the sick? And Jesus says, depart from me. I never knew you. That's some serious words. And Lord, we long, each one of us, to hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your rest. I want to share Colossians 3:15. And let the peace, and this is from the Amplified Classic Version, soul harmony which comes from Christ rule, act as umpire continually. That peace is an umpire in the conflicts of life, in the frictions of the biblical, historical battle of good versus evil, of right versus wrong, life versus death. It is a continual challenge. And that peace of God is an umpire. You know, Jesus said that he said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Look at the conflicts surrounding Jerusalem for millennia until the end of the age. There's going to be battles. So pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And Jesus said, I have to go to the Father so that I can send the Holy Spirit, a comforter, a counsel, source of wisdom, of direction, of peace. And I was mentioned to Liz yesterday, you know, we read and we hear a lot. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's important. And Jesus said, I go to the to return to heaven so that I can send the comforter. And why is it the Holy Spirit's our comforter that he often makes us feel uncomfortable? There's a lot of paradoxes in the Bible, you know, from Calvinism and predestination to free will and choice. But in heaven's realm, they both can exist. God foreordained before the foundation of the world and wrote in his book all the days of your life. But yet we still have free will. But he knows the choices that we're going to make in advance. He knows the end from the beginning. So he's so much higher, so much bigger. And Lord, we just give you all the glory and praise. So that peace of God through Christ rules in us, in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state, to which as members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live and to be thankful, appreciative, giving praises to God as always. Things are changing fast, probably faster than any of us realize. And it's just like a roller coaster of like, wow, the who would have ever thought that anti-Semitism after and before World War II would surpass that? It's like, Lord, what's happening? How give me your grasp. But he gives us his peace through the Holy Spirit to stay in that. We need to cling to his peace and put it before him on every decision, every matter. Some of you are reviewing a contract right now, and you need to read the fine print and ask the Holy Spirit to show you what is happening so that you make a Holy Spirit-led decision or choice. And we have that continually. And so in the days ahead, I was seeing yesterday these hills, the road, the driveway, just full of people looking for hope, looking for answers. And so you are leaders, you are champions, you are pillars of light and hope being trained up. Jesus picked 12 ragtag disciples. You know, years ago, I mean, I did everything wrong. And God saved me by his grace, and he saved our family. Times we thought we were going to be, even in Roanoke, that we were going to be homeless. I would lay in my bed and weep at night. Oh, God, we have 3 young children. What are we going to do? What are we? And he showed me, and he hooked me up with people, with places, with jobs, and prospered us as we grow. I remember one house we bought in 1989. We were supposed to close on New Year's Eve. And we had lived in New England. I come from Illinois. My wife comes from Boston. We had lived in Maine for 10 years and moved south to Roanoke. And we were in a little tiny house. And we wanted and needed a bigger house. So we put a contract on a house where the owner was going to finance it. We had no money, no credit. And we were going to close on December 31st. And there was a cold weather forecast coming in. So I called the real estate agent and I said, we lived in New England. It's going to be bitter cold tonight. There was no utilities on at the house. And I said, you need to either turn the water faucets on to a trickle to keep the pipes from freezing, or turn the heat on, or get the electricity on and put some heaters or propane heaters in there just to protect the pipes. Oh, no, it never happens around here. It'll be okay. So we get up in the morning, and the real estate agent calls and says, we're going to have to postpone the closing. And then it's like you get those lightning flashes of revelation from the Lord. And it, like when there's crisis, one of the Chinese definitions of crisis is opportunity. Wow. And I asked the Lord, and we needed 3,000 down, which we didn't have. We were going by faith from night to morning. Wow. Lord, what do? We don't have $3,000. We need a place to move. And I said to the agent, let me go take a look at it and see how bad the damage was. And it was a brick ranch house and had a finished basement with carpet and wood paneling on the walls. And there were three bedrooms down there. And we went down to the basement and the floor was soaked. And we thought there'd be mold issues. Have to take out the carpet, change the paneling because the water was up a few inches on the walls. And I prayed and the Lord said, go for it. And so I called the agent back and said, hey, here's what I offer as a counter offer. Is we'll go ahead and have the closing today, and we'll take the house as is, and we'll be responsible for all the repairs. So that took care of the $3,000 that we didn't have. And we go in there and fix it up. They had already put some fans in to dry it out, dehumidifiers. And so we let that process continue. So we never did have to change the carpet. It was fine. Deodorized it and cleaned it. God is good. And so we were paying the man, he worked for the railroad, monthly payments. And we had on our checks then, because we were getting more on fire for the Lord at that time. So we had scriptures on every check. And he would get these checks, and he'd come over one time, and he said, don't send me those checks with scriptures on it. I don't want to hear it. I said, well, we're here because of the Lord Jesus. He made a way where we thought there was no way. And we continued. I said, those are the only checks we have. You know, it had different scripture on each check or each pad of checks. And he kept getting. And we didn't see him for like a year or two. And then he came over one day and we could see him out front. I go, oh, Mr. O's here. And Lord, help us, protect us. He's going to yell at me some more, do something. What have I done? I haven't done anything that I know of. And he comes up the sidewalk and meet him in the yard. He said, I want you to know. And he had been on disability and he had real sickness. He'd retired from the railroad. And he said, I want you to know that your scriptures on that check touched my heart month after month. And I've given my heart to Jesus. So it's like those little things. There's no little things in God's eyes. He knows the hairs on our head. He knew before the world was formed that you'd each be here today. It's like, wow, he's full of majesty, full of wonder. And he just keeps us in wonder and awe. And soon after, you know, we were so happy. We prayed with Mr. O. And just a few weeks, maybe 6 weeks or less, he died in a car wreck. Said he had a heart attack and hit a tree and died. But it's like, we don't know this. You know, we're just sowing the seeds continually. Sowing the seeds of the gospel. And people need it. John had asked me, and I shared it with Anna. And Anna's observations of plagues or hindrances in this region, some of them are true nationwide and in the Western church. But what we saw around here, and we know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but spiritual, for the pulling down of strongholds. And as pillars, I salute you as pillars of faith. And you may think, oh, who am I? I'm nobody. But because of Jesus, I'm a son of God, and so are you. And we are his bride, and he's preparing his bride through the trials of life, through the ups and downs, through the joys and the despair and the joys. It's like we're getting closer, and your testimonies need to be shared. Amen. And so I speak to the testimonies that are coming that are of healing. Amen. Yes. You know, and Sister Heidi, we just pray. And I've been blessed. We've seen people healed from stage 4 cancer, all types of cancer, leukemia, alcoholism, cirrhosis of the liver, all types of blind people healed, even on Zoom and Skype. Before we were using Zoom, we were using Skype. Wow. And then we've seen it many times in many countries. You know, Ronnie and the worship team were singing a song about Jesus. And I whispered to Anna, it reminded me of the first trip to India. John Kepley was with me. And another friend of ours, John Flowers, were there. And I had to, twist their arm. I hadn't been to India. They hadn't been to India before. John Kepley says, what are we going to be doing there? I said, I don't know. I hadn't been. I said, we're going to go there to encourage the missionaries that the CMM family had supported for decades. And it was up near the Nepal border. And at that time, North India was harder, more persecution. But now India needs prayers for persecution all over. But we went up to that area, and they have a hospital and a school that has 400 or 500 students in it and a little church. And we discerned a lot of things on that first trip. God breaks through, even overcoming the Jezebel spirit within the family. We faced all kinds of warfare. There was a mosque right over the wall of the compound with these little tinny speakers and the call to prayer 5 times a day. There was witchcraft around, idol worship. It was near the birthplace of Buddha and near the death place of Muhammad III. Just heavy warfare, so strong. And in fact, the second night we were there, John Kepley and a friend, John Flowers, came to wake me up. We don't know if we can stay here. We're going to die. And I said, well, we're only here a few more days. You guys can go if you want, but I feel I need to stay. And it had just been warfare. Warfare.
Can you explain the Jezebel spirit? I just
want to
make sure everybody understands what that is.
Yes. The Jezebel spirit can be very, it is very deceptive. It's very prevalent. It's big time in Washington, D.C., and our country, and probably Richmond, and most state capitals, even some local governments. But it's like Jezebel in the Old Testament was against the prophets of God and was doing everything to kill and assassinate the prophets of God in Israel. And Elijah, there's a beautiful story about Elijah confronting Jezebel and overcoming Jezebel. But Elijah, during that battle that he was facing with her, was running from her, hiding from her. And he said, oh God, where are you? Where are the prophets of God? And God said, you're not the only one. There's 7,000 more prophets in Israel. And so Jezebel often works in league with the spirit of Baal worshipers. And so on Mount Carmel in northern Israel near Haifa, we've been there several times, he challenged the false prophets of Baal to a match, basically, and said, if your God is God, we'll worship him. And if my God is God, you'll worship him. So he put a sacrifice on the altar. And he said, okay, your turn, prophets of Baal. And they prayed and did their incantations all day long and nothing happened. And some people say, well, we need to avoid presumption. We do, but Elijah was not presumptive when he said, God, you are God of all Israel, of all creation. And he said, even put four more barrels of water on the sacrifice. And then the fire came down from heaven and burned up the sacrifice. And Elijah killed 450 prophets. And then he went after Jezebel. And so it's like a control spirit. It's really an anti-Christ spirit. There are many that challenge the authority and the sovereignty of the true God. And so this Jezebel spirit was in this compound, even in the missionary family, for decades. And John was there and he was helped to discern and uncover it and to address it and confront it. And we would be having services and just be led by the Holy Spirit. And one of the sons would be pointing his watch and he'd call us to the side and said, well, the people have to go home to work the next day. They have to catch buses. And so it's like from a practical side, but then we kept sensing it was like he didn't want these people who were hungry for God to encounter God. It's like just do the standard type service. Two or three praise and worship songs, take up the offering, preach a sermon, keep everybody under control. No freedom in the spirit permitted. And we know that in John it says that the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so we want to stay in the spirit. We are spirit beings. We come from a place of victory of the completed work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And we come to earth to be able to be equipped, to grow, to be trained for reigning with the Lord in eternity. And so every challenge that we face, it's an opportunity to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want me to learn from this trial, from this heartache, from this warfare? How could I grow in faith and stature and to be able to overcome? And we overcome the world by faith. And faith is often misunderstood, but as we mentioned yesterday, without risk, there's no room for faith to work. Hudson Taylor was a great missionary to China. So I want to encourage you with Isaiah 60. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. You means you. His glory will shine upon you. As things get darker, the glory of the Lord shines brighter in each of you. So just receive it. It's time, I often tell myself, get over myself. Self, you and me got to have a talking to. You're not in charge. Your life is not your own. You know, as new creations in Christ Jesus, we're to rise up, to be bold like lions. And the Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. So right now, I just want to decree and declare restoration in family relationships. There are some that have gone away, some that are prodigals. I was a prodigal, and the Lord spared me. We have one son who won't speak to us because of who we voted for in 2020 and because we didn't get the vaccine. You know, that's a personal choice decision between you and the Lord. And if you have it, he protects us. But I believe and know that we have the most powerful vaccine in the world. That's the blood of Jesus. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Then you shall see and become radiant. You shall see and become radiant. And your heart shall swell with joy. The Lord spoke to me a month or 6 weeks ago and said, I was born for joy. You know, and that reminds me of Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of the Father. And one of the words the Lord gave me for this year, 2024, was he's expanding our capacity of understanding the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ. You know, when Lazarus was in the tomb, he wept. That's the shortest sentence in the Bible. Jesus wept. But he was resurrected. And we walk and we live in that resurrected life. I've died three times and the Lord raised me up each time. It's by his grace. We're each only here by his grace. By his favor. I encourage you to watch the videos from Friday night with David Harwood speaking. A lot of wisdom, a very anointed message, and very down-to-earth practical questions that you can ask of the Lord to draw you closer. I mean, his love is radiant, but his love is like a magnet that draws you in. He won't let you get away. So just quit trying to hide. You can't outrun him. He'll find you. Like he was after Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. He goes, Adam, where are you? He knows. But he wanted to hear what Adam would say. And what did Adam do? That woman you gave me. But he was guilty as well. 1 John 5:13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. I had a dream many years ago. David's dream is really significant that he shared. And I do believe it is for this church and for others too. And it's amazing how the Lord can speak like in parables of different levels. It's like you could be very mature, or you could be a child, or you could be a child with Down syndrome, for example. And it's like the Lord's love comes through so that everyone can receive something at whatever level of understanding or maturity that they may be at. His love permeates every level of understanding. But, you know, it's your hunger that invites his presence. How hungry are you for him? And 1 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. How many churches have been split? I think there's been some of that around here in the past of where people, it's like, oh, let's just have normal church. We'll play church. We'll pretend to be Christians. We'll pretend that we believe. And it's like, Lord, have mercy on them. Lord, and help us to maintain the lines of communication and keep the dialogue open and ongoing, and give us the discernment and the wisdom and the love to reach them, to reach their hearts. Because Jesus, we know, has the key to unlock the hardest of heart. And he only did and said what the Father did and said. And then we have a better covenant today, like John shared this morning, we shared yesterday, John 14:12, that even greater works than these shall you do. And we're moving to that time we can fully expect, anticipate, hope for, rely on, trust that his word is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. That's what will save our lives in the days ahead and the lives of those around us and the lives that will be coming up the hill They'll be coming up the mountain of the Lord so he can teach them his ways.
Amen.
And he's going to use you. So I just release all the fivefold ministry gifts now. The pastor, the prophet, the apostle, the teacher, the evangelist, all are needed to prepare the church, as we read in Ephesians 4:11. And I love what it says in 13, until we all come to the full stature of Christ. So we're in the making, we're in the preparatory stages. He's shaping us, molding us, putting us back on the potter's wheel to mold us. And it's important for us to stay humble, to know that he's God, we're not. And that's a blessing that I'm not God, because we'd all be toast. He's God. He alone is God. He's worthy, far above all principalities and powers. And we're seated with him in those places on his throne in heaven, in the third heaven, in eternity. And it's like, wow, we're there now and we're here now. But our job, our calling is to bring what's there in eternity in the heavenly realm of truth and holiness and purity, to bring that to earth. So he's more interested in our being than our doing. And it reminds me of Peter and Paul in the book of Acts. You know, that a shadow or a handkerchief could heal. Lord, download in each of us, Lord, we just stand up now.
Amen.
I don't know if we were going to bring the children in,
yeah,
or is it too late?
Yeah, whenever you're ready, I'll get them.
Sure.
Okay.
Father God, just download on us your presence, your supernatural being in us, Lord, that people would see the glory shining on us, radiating through us, Lord. And they'd say, what is it about you? You're different. What sets you apart? Why are you that way? How can you smile when the world's such a mess? But be a genuine smile, not a fake smile. He wants authenticity. And people can smell a rat a mile away, particularly the younger generation. They are turned off to hypocrisy. And he desires for us to be one as he is one. That out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And as we align ourselves in the frequency of heaven, there's a vibration or a resonancy or a harmonic melody that comes through us and even out our hands in what we do for work and everything, every vocation, every ministry activity, every job. You could be a hairdresser or a lawyer or a construction foreman or a worker or a ditch digger or a street sweeper. Everything is worship unto the Lord. And so we love that Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And modern man makes things too complicated sometimes. And just like these children, Jesus said that unless we have the faith like a child, we will not see the kingdom of heaven. So rejoice and be glad in that childlike faith. My wife has something.
You can be seated. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here and your power upon each and every one of these, that they would draw closer and closer to you, that they would be with you, and that they would put aside their busyness and just be with you. So, George and I used to do all-night praise and worship, and we had a lot of children that would attend that, and we frequently let them pray over people for healing. And we had a three-year-old who got up and laid hands on someone with kidney disease, and that person was instantly healed. So there's no big God or little God. And so what we thought we could do today, if parents are good with it, is have the kids come up, and people who need healing, put your hand up, and maybe parents for the little ones could take them to whoever needs prayer. And all you guys need to do for someone who needs healing and has their hand up, all you need to do is touch them and say, Jesus. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. Do you think you could do that? Do you think you could do that?
Maybe we can have the children come up and we can pray for the children.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord, for these precious children, these mighty warriors. Lord, we anoint each one, Lord, with a sanctified imagination to dream big with you, God, that you speak to them in their dreams and their visions and their ideals and what they dream about doing and impacting the world, Lord, that Jesus said, unless we come to you with the faith like a child, we will not see the heaven of God. And as Anna said, there's no big Holy Spirit, little Holy Spirit, there's one Holy Spirit. And you hear from the Lord. Just repeat after me, say, I hear from the Lord. I love what he says. His word is always true. And he always loves to bless everyone. Lord, give me more dreams from you. Lord, help me to know when it's a bad dream from the enemy. And Jesus, you live in me. And Jesus, you stop anything bad from being in my life. Jesus is the healer. And Jesus lives in me. And so now just listen. You're going to go out and people see people that have their hands up that need prayer. And Jesus already knows the answer. Jesus knows what their question is and what part of their body needs healing. Or it could be another type of visitation from the Lord. So you just look for people that have their hands up. And you ask them, can I lay my hand on you? And they'll say yes. You can touch their shoulder or their head. And you could say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Okay. We thank you, Lord, for these precious children, these miracles of life. Lord, each life is a miracle. And Lord, you give them the power to touch, the power to heal, the power to impart the presence of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Lord, it's your compassion, Jesus, that heals. We thank you for healing waves to go forth, Lord, as you just continue to prepare and equip this Goshen army up on this hilltop, Father, that they would be bold, full of faith, full of prophetic unction and anointing to decree and declare the word, that they're even going to have an impact in their public or private schools, Lord, that the joy and the glory of you, Lord, is going to radiate and permeate the hallways, fill the teachers and the principals, the counselors, Lord, even the security guards and the bus drivers, Lord, that these children have that evangelistic zeal to ask people if they know Jesus. And do they know if they died today where they would spend eternity? And Lord, that they're going to be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ and that they can repent and they can receive the Lord in their hearts, Father. We thank you, Lord. For not that many moons ago, I was their age, Lord. I was running around and enjoying life, and I still do. We're going to run around. Here, follow me. Follow me. Come on. Everybody go. Yay. We're free. We're free. We're free. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Woohoo. Here, I give the baton to him.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. 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 The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Jesus! Jesus! Oh, I love to have fun in church. I've got a faith exercise we can all do. You know, we know about the roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah. And so I want you to contemplate, think about what is the biggest challenge in your life. The biggest dream, the biggest desire. Children, adults, everyone can do this. What do you want most in life? You know, and the Bible talks to us about praying in agreement with the Word of God. That if anything that we want lines up with the Word and the Spirit and the will of God, Jesus sits at the hand of Father God praying for us continually, day and night, night and day. Jesus is interceding on your behalf to the Father God. So what is the biggest thing? It could be the biggest desire. Could be the biggest problem, the biggest challenge. Could be health, emotional, financial, family relations, marriage relations. Whatever it is, you know and the Lord knows. This is between you and Him. So let's all stand up. And we're only going to do this once. So take some deep breaths. Have the oxygen tank ready for me. I've got healthy lungs, and I'm going to take a deep breath. And when I get to three, you do the lion of the roar of the roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus in you, the hope of glory. And so He's yelling from the depth of your spirit, man or woman, spirit child. Jesus in you is going to roar. And it's going to disturb the spiritual atmosphere, and it's going to break hindrances and blockages and strongholds in your mind. You may think it's silly. That's okay. But it's Jesus in you, the hope of glory, that roars to change things. Do you know we read about the Battle of Jericho? That was big, thick walls that were impenetrable. Nobody, no army could get through them. The Lord spoke to Joshua and gives him this idea, not from earth, to go around the walls of Jericho 7 days. And when the Lord said so, to blow the shofars, and the walls came down. Do you have a Jericho in your life that's a stronghold that's blocking what the Lord has called you to do? This is one way to address it. So take deep breaths. We're just going to do it once, so make it count. And from deep down in your inner man or woman, let it come forth. One, two, three. Roar! It's done in Jesus' name.
Okay, okay. Praise the Lord.